You'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John 5 and verse 24. Rather familiar passage. A beautiful one at that. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus is speaking and He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Thank God for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank God for this verse that those who hear and believe on Jesus Christ have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. They're passed from death unto life. But tonight I want to focus in on the two words there toward the front of the verse. He says, "He that heareth my word." My word. We're going to look tonight at what Jesus had to say about His word and what He expects from us in regards to that word. And we see the first thing right here in verse 24 of John 5. "He that heareth my word." Do we hear what the word of God says? Do we hear the words of Christ? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. You'll turn over there. Matthew 13 and verse 15. Do we hear His word? Here Jesus is speaking and reminding the Jews of what Isaiah had said earlier. Verse 14, He said, In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." They did not want to hear the words of Jesus, and therefore they closed their ears. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Here Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." He that heareth my words. Do we hear the words of Jesus Christ? We hear them preached all the time. We're a faithful in attendance at church. We hear them taught in Sunday school. Perhaps we read them in our own devotions. But do we really hear what He is saying? Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 50. "He that heareth my word." I do not think it was coincidence that the song that the Patch Club sang was "Listen Up." God's not into coincidences. He has something He wants us to hear, I believe. So are we going to? Luke chapter 6, beginning of verse 47. Jesus says here, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." You cannot go through the book of Proverbs and understand and long before you start to understand that if you want to get the things out of God's Word, you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to dig. You don't just take the Bible and dump its contents into your head and expect it all to just magically be there. You have to put the effort into it. And this is what we see here. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them," He said, "he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Do we hear the words of God? Let's go to John chapter 8 now. John chapter 8. And verse number 43. Jesus speaking here with the Jews, debating, because that's pretty much all they wanted to do with Him. They did not want to listen. They just wanted to argue and debate and prove their points and justify themselves. And because they refused to listen, they missed out on so much. We must not do the same. John chapter 8 and verse 43, Jesus says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's a sobering statement. Ye are not of God. That's the reason that they could not hear. They were not of God. The whole time, as they say earlier, Abraham's our father. We're Abraham's children. Of course we're of God. What are you saying? What are you nuts? We're the Jews. We're the chosen people. Of course we're. Of course we're. We're God's. We're of God. And that's what Jesus was trying to get them to see. That means nothing. That means nothing. They couldn't hear the words of Christ because they were not of God. John chapter 18 and verse 37, if you go over there, Jesus standing before Pilate. Pilate asked him a question there in verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then if you go back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He that heareth my word, heareth my word. 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. John tells us in verse 4 that we are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And in verse 5 he says, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do we hear the words of Jesus Christ? Instead of being like the Jews, we should be more like Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10, if you remember, God came to Samuel when he was a little child there at night asleep and called him. And three times he ran to Eli because he was sure Eli was calling him and wanting him. And finally Eli realized it and said, Go lie down. And when he calls again, say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And when the Lord called his name again, that's exactly what he said. Speak, for thy servant heareth. That should be our heart attitude when we come to this place to hear the Word of God preached. That should be our attitude. Our attitude should not be, well, let's see what he's going to rant about today. Let's see what he's going to run on and on about today. Hope he gets done by lunchtime. That's not the right attitude to have. The right attitude is the one that Samuel had. Speak, for thy servant heareth. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what the Word of God has to say to me. David in the Psalms, how many times does he express his desire for the Word of God, his desire that God would teach him the things of His Word, that would show him the things in His Word? Psalm 119, he says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Do we want to hear what Jesus has to say to us? Not only do we need to hear His Word, we need to understand that Jesus said that His words are spirit and they are life. John chapter 6 and verse 63. His words are life. John chapter 6 and verse 63. In this day and age, it seems like so many people hang their lives on what the latest celebrity is going to tweet. That's their words of life as far as they're concerned. Ooh, I wonder what so-and-so has to say about this. I wonder what they tweeted about this. I wonder what they tweeted about that. I wonder what tweet. Tweedle-dee-dee. Jesus said, My words are life. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And in verse 66, when Jesus said that, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And here is the attitude we should have. Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go to find anything that comes close to this book? There's nowhere else to go. Nowhere. Nowhere else to go. Jesus' words are life. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. They are eternal. Matthew 24 and verse 35. They're not going anywhere. Jesus says here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. This is one of the reasons why we should not set our affection on the things of this life, because everything we see is going to go away. Literally. It's going to be gone. But not the words of Jesus Christ. Words are spirit and they are words of life. Luke chapter 21 and verse 33. Same thing. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I'd like to go to Psalm 16. Words of Jesus Christ are life. One of those things that we agree with, we say a lot of times, in our minds we acknowledge, but as far as our heart is concerned, we don't see them as such. We don't see them as that special. Remember what Job said? I esteemed his words more than my necessary food. How many of us can honestly say that before God, that we have that same desire. We have the same objective as Job did. I'd rather hear his words than eat. That's a big one. Psalm 16 and verse 11. David says here, thou wilt show me the path of life. The path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And when you remember Psalm 119, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Path of life, the words of life. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. This chapter speaks a lot about paths, which one to take and which one to avoid. But in verse 20 he says, my son, attend to my words. Remember, attend. When you take attendance, you want to see who showed up. Right? So, in order to attend to God's word, you need to show up. You show up bodily, but are you here personally? Are you here spiritually? Or are you somewhere else doing something else? Oh, you can say, yeah, I was in church. Were you? The shell that you travel around in might be here, but were you present? You go through the book of Proverbs, this word comes up a lot. It's almost as if God knows our faults. It's almost as if God knows we need a lot of reminding to show up and pay attention to His words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Words of Christ are life. Proverbs 8 verse 35. Wisdom is speaking. The instruction that God gives to mankind. And she says here in verse 35, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul mentions this. Philippians 2 and verse 16. His words are spirit and they are life. Philippians 2:16, Paul says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The word of life. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2. John says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you compare John 1, verse 1, you see the word of life is Jesus Christ. They are inseparable. The word of life. His words are life. Chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. His words are spirit and they are life. Are we hearing the words of Jesus Christ? The next one is Luke chapter 4. Luke 4 and verse 32. And then verse 36. Luke 4 and verse 32. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. His word was with power. In verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. The word of Jesus is word of power, word of authority. Chapter 5 and verse 5. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word I will let down the net. Is that our obedience? At His word, when we see it in the Word of God, do we simply humble ourselves before it and allow God to fix what needs fixing? Or are we like the Jews in John chapter 8 and want to spend our time debating with God, arguing with God, justifying with God why He shouldn't fix what we know needs fixing? Why He shouldn't get involved in that area of our life? Why we are justified in doing something we know we have no business doing? That wasn't Simon Peter's attitude. And if you read the whole passage there, you see that he could have a point. Being an expert fisherman, that's what he did for a living. He knew the lake. They'd fished all night and found nothing. He knew they weren't going to find anything going out again. Yet, he still said, at Thy word, I will let down the net. I don't think we're going to get anything. I think we're going to waste our time, but I'll do it. And he found out it's a whole lot better to just submit to God and obey. It's a whole lot better to just obey the Word of God. When you follow what you think and compare it to what God said, it's always going to end badly if you go with what you think. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. His Word was with power. Why is it we don't see that? His Word commands the sea. The Gospels, how many times did Jesus still the weather with just a word? The book of Psalms tells us that all the forces of nature are at His command. When He speaks, they obey immediately. Except us. We're the ones who have the problem with obeying this word of authority, this word of power. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55. He that heareth My word, do we hear? Isaiah 55 and verse 11, speaking of the rain coming from heaven and watering the earth and bringing forth bread to the eater, he says in verse 11, so shall My word be that goeth forth out of My mouth. It shall not return unto Me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Another familiar verse, Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. His word was with power. God says here, is not My word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? How many thousands of years has mankind been fighting against this book? How many generations have been determined to conquer this book and to conquer God in the process? And how many of them have been successful one bit? Not one. The book's still here. It's still here. Because His Word has power. His Word has power. Remember Romans chapter 1, what did Paul say? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God is right here. His Word was with power. John chapter 18, here's just one example. John 18. Oh, the stubbornness of these Jewish leaders. After all they had seen, Jesus, the miracles that He did, raising Lazarus from the dead over and over and over, the undeniable, overwhelming proof that He was the Son of God. They themselves admitted that He was. And yet here in chapter 18 of John, here they come with Judas to take Him away. with lanterns and torches and weapons. In verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, do you really think all of them came to the same conclusion, that they all just got really loopy and fell down at the same time? They know why they're on the ground. Because God spoke to them. They know who he is. His word was with power. This is our Savior. This is the one who gave us the book that we have. Are we hearing his word? Are we hearing his word? Not only that, but Jesus said in John 14, verse 23, something else about his word. John 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Judas, not Iscariot, If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Keep my word. Chapter 15 and verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. To keep the word of God. We know it's good to hear the word of God, but James also makes it clear that if we're a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word, it's not going to help us any. It's not going to do any good. To hear is good, but to apply it and then live it is the object. That's the goal. And that's what we see here. Jesus said, He that loveth me, if any man love me, he will keep my words. Keep my words. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Jesus mentions this again. Revelation 3 and verse 8. Speaking to the angel at the church in Philadelphia. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Hast kept my word. Seems like that's an important thing to Jesus. Those who are willing to keep his commandments. Not just here, but to keep them. To do them. The opposite of keeping is letting go, right? That's what it is. Do we keep what he said, or do we let it go by the wayside? Do we just let it stay over there and not worry about it too much? So if you're going to keep something, you're going to hold on to it. That's what we need to do with the Word of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Hold on to it. Not only that, but John chapter 8, verse 32, this ties in with it. Leads into it, John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus says here, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews, it's sad because it only takes, you know, a little time and most of these people, where are they? You don't see them. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 31 there, continue in my word. To continue, not just be there once in a while, but to continue. Continue regularly. Chapter 15 and verse 7. To continue in the word of God. I read some verses last month. They were pretty good. I got a blessing out of them. You can't really call that continuing in the Word of God if you're only going to hit and miss once a month. That's not continuing. Chapter 15 of John, verse 3, Jesus says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 7, he says, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Abide does not mean visit. Abide means you dwell there. You dwell. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Remember, continue in it. Keep these things at the forefront of your mind. 1 Timothy chapter 4. beginning in verse 14, to continue in His Word. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul again tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Continue in these things. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the believers continued in the apostles' doctrine. Is that our heart's desire? Are we continuing in the Word of God? Or is the scope of our getting into the Word of God only Sunday? If it is, there's a problem. That's not continuing in the Word of God. John chapter 8, now Jesus continues on here. We'll pick it up in verse number 32. He tells them, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. My word hath no place in you. And that's true. That's exactly right. They had absolutely no place for Jesus Christ. How about us? Would Jesus have to, if He would look at our hearts and our lives, is that the conclusion He would have to come to? My word hath no place. Well, no, you don't understand. I love you, God. I love you. I don't have a spiteful thought about you in my heart at all. I think you're great. I got nothing against you. My word has no place in you. My word has no place. No, you don't understand. I do love you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Well, I love you. Then keep my commandments. Well, I love you. Keep my commandments. Well, I love you. And again He says, keep my commandments. Does His word have any place in us at all? If it doesn't, what does? What has found a place in our heart? If it's not the word of God, it's going to be something. Remember, you learned it back in science, nature abhors a vacuum. You can't stay empty. Something is going to fill that void. And if it's not the Word of God, what does fill it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians 4, 27. Pretty short verse. And one we need to heed. Neither give place to the devil. You see, if the Word of God doesn't have place in your heart, someone else will find their way into it. And that someone else is your enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, verse 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God does not have place in our heart. Something else will. Acts chapter 5. You can look at how the Bible words this. Again, God words things the way they are for a reason. Acts chapter 5. Here we have Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1, they sold a possession, and verse 2, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet, pretending as though it was the whole sum. So they are deceiving here. In verse 3, listen to how Peter puts this. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? There's no place for the Word of God. That simply allows a place for the devil to fill it. You see the danger here? Love for God is not lip service. Love for God is in the Word of God. It's the Word of God. My Word hath no place in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. I love the Word of God. I don't have anything yet, but if it's not in your heart, it's not going to help you. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. Paul says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. James 4, 7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you can't resist him if you're not in the Word of God. And if the Word of God has no place in you, the devil will find a way in. Matthew chapter 13, and verse 22. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Luke 8 also relates this, but this is the parable of the sower and the seed. It says here in verse 22, he's explaining the parable. He says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. No place in you for my word, Jesus says. No place. John chapter 12. John 12. Verses 47 and 48. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He that receiveth not my word. It's a serious thing because it is that very word that will judge you when you stand before God. Receiveth not my word. It is the word of God that matters. When all else is laid in the balances, it is the word of God. Do we have the desire for the word of God that we should? Do we have a desire to hear the words of Jesus Christ? Do we have a desire to obey, to have that same view of the Word of God like Job and like David and like so many others that we see in the Word of God? It was their life. But sadly, for a lot of us, His Word has no place. Too many other things have filled the space. There's too many other things in there. There's not enough room for the Word of God. But yet it's the Word of God alone that we go to when we are brought to our knees. When we are brought to that place where we can go no lower, when we are broken, what is it that helps? The Word of God. The Word of God. It's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Remember, he said they were pressed out of measure. They were at the end of their, they were done. But what was it? The comfort that God gave them. You know, many of you have the same things. You've gone through hard times in your life, and you can attest to this, that it's at some point, the only thing that matters, the only thing that's real, the only thing that helps, is the Word of God. the things that I've gone through in the last few years have brought that out to me in a pretty powerful way. You know, I guarantee you, when I was doing that chemo, it felt like every time I was trying to dry heave my stomach out of my body, I wasn't thinking how I got that trophy for being the most valuable player of the tournament. That didn't give me comfort. It wasn't the fact that I had straight A's. It wasn't the fact that I had great times with my friends. This book, right here, the Word of God. What gave me comfort? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with what things that you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What was the comfort was, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. What was the comfort? Passage after passage. It was the Word of God. And why was that? Because by God's grace, His Word had a place in my heart. It had a place in my heart. What is your life all about? What is it? Is it your career? Is it your sports? Your playtime, your extracurricular activities? I guarantee you, in a few years, when you hit those rough spots in your life, just like me, you're not going to be thinking about how many points you scored. You're not going to be thinking about how many friends you had. You're not going to be thinking about the good times. The only thing that helps is the Word of Jesus Christ. He that heareth my word, heareth my word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And yet for all of that, it is where we find the comfort that we so desperately need in this messed up world that we live. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Two more verses, Matthew 17, verse 15. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Mark 9 and verse 7. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is transfigured before them. And Peter, meaning well but not thinking well, wants to make three tabernacles. In verse 6, he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. In verse 7, there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. What? Hear Him. Hear Him. Will you hear His word? Let's bow our heads for prayer. First of all, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to hear the words of Christ Himself. He said, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no way to escape hell, to escape the penalty of your sin, except through Jesus Christ. But because of John chapter 5 and verse 24, we find, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It is offered to all if they will simply ask. That's what you need to do. Christian, you don't need me to start listing off a bunch of situations and scenarios and mentioning things that you need to deal with. If God is dealing with you about something, you know what it is. And that's where we're going to leave it. What you do with it is between you and Him. But if there is something you need to deal with God about, don't leave tonight without settling it. Are you hearing His Word? Father in heaven, I pray that You would work in our hearts. Oh God, may we have the same desire to have a place in our heart for Your Word. Lord, if there are things, if there are people, if there are anything that's occupying that space that should be for You and Your Word, show it to us. Reveal it, Father. Help us to confess it and forsake it, and to have the same desire of David and Paul and so many others, that it would be Your Word, that we would see Christ for who He really is, all that we need. We would see Your Word as it really is, all that we need. Help us, Father, open our eyes and our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. We go to page 388.